We are carrying on with our series on rivers this morning, and Hugh gave us the title Border Control. Now, I don't know what springs to mind when you think of border control. To me, it's often about if I'm flying into a country or I'm trying to get access into a country, you get to immigration, and you get the frowny-faced people who sit there and look at your passport and go, yes, shall I let you in or shan't I? Now, they have the power to allow you into a country or to deny you access. And we're going to look at that a bit later on. But kind of the way borders and rivers link together is that often rivers form out a border to an area. They show us, kind of, they used to use rivers as a way of dividing the land. So it's like this north side of the river is my area, south side of the river is your area. And one of the reasons that that can be great for us is that when we see our borders, we see everything that God's given us. It's a good way of measuring out our portion, what God's given us. And in Psalm 16, David grasps this really well. And in verse 5 and 6, he says that God has given us our lot. He says, the Lord is my chosen portion of my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Mm-hmm. And that is David just summing up how, you know, he can see where his lines are. He can see where his borders are. He can see what God's given him. And it's wonderful. And that's what we want to talk about a bit to start off this morning, is that, you know, David learned to really appreciate everything God had given to him. He learned to appreciate what it meant to follow God. And so, you know, do we ever take time to appreciate what it means to be a Christian? Do we ever take time to really look at what God's given us and appreciate it for all that it is? So we're going to share a bit to start with about some of the things that we really appreciate about being a Christian. Go.
Okay, well, when Hugh asked us to preach, he said, can you pop in your preach things that you appreciate about being a Christian? And actually, when someone asks you that question, it's really easy to make a list, isn't it, and go, I appreciate this aspect of God's character, I appreciate these material things that he's given me. And actually, we do appreciate all those things, and we'll dig into those a little bit later. But what we wanted to bring it back to this morning to begin with is the fact that as Christians, what we appreciate most is the fact that God is our Father. There is a God. The world was created by God, and he's ever present. And he sent his son Jesus into the world to die for us so that we could be free. And Hugh spoke about that just now, didn't you? That we've been completely cleansed. We've been completely set free by Jesus. And actually, that's what it's all about as a Christian. That's the thing that I appreciate the most. Having grown up not knowing that and coming to realize that a bit later, I just see the world in a different way, knowing that there is a God, he is my Father, and that he sent his son Jesus for us. And that's the most important thing that Pete and I, and I'm sure you can relate to now, that you appreciate as a Christian. Before you dig into anything else, before you look at what you've got and all the things that God's done for you, the most important thing is to step back and go, there is a God. And I just, you know, I want you to declare that in your heart this morning, because that's the foundation of our faith, isn't it? God, Jesus, his son, who came to cleanse us, who came to redeem us, so that we could be in a relationship with him.
Yeah. So, what benefits have we seen as from being, you know, following God? I mean, for us, one of the biggest things is change perspectives. You know, we see a world in a different way because we know who God is, we know that God saved us, and we know his promises over us are good. It allows us to have a different outlook on situations. And Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34 says this. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Now we've got to look at when we come against trials or we come against challenges. The first thing is to look up. Is to go, actually, my perspective on this isn't of an earthly perspective where I might feel, you know, like I'm fighting against a big battle because I have a bigger God. You know, our perspective changes. We know that God is for us. You know, we sing songs about it all the time. There's more and more of them coming out recently that God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness. You know, lighting up his kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Mm-hmm. I never know where to stand when I'm at the front. I'll stand here for a bit. Okay, one of the things we're most grateful for as Christians is that God puts his Holy Spirit in us, doesn't he? When we come to know him, when we get baptized in the Spirit, he puts his presence in us. The Holy Spirit is with us if we want him and if we reach out to him at all times. And, you know, maybe you can think of a situation right now where the Holy Spirit's helped you this week, even where he's just given you peace, given you guidance, and helped you in a situation. And I can definitely testify about the Holy Spirit being at work in my life and actually changing my whole life in a direction I never thought it would go in, because once I felt the Spirit of God in me, he started to push me into different areas, push me into a different area of work. Gemma, do you remember when we were about 21 and we were at the New Frontiers training day in January? That's when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'd just finished a media studies degree. I was on this gap year with Gemma and we were on a leaders training year. And actually after that, the Spirit of God in me just started prompting me to pursue working with children. And that's what I've done ever since, because the Spirit is a guide. He tells us what to do. It's God mapping out our lives. The Holy Spirit is with us, and it's an incredible thing. And since that day, the outward works of the Spirit in my life have given me so much more confidence to pray for people, to speak words of wisdom over people. You know, the Spirit gives us so many gifts, and it also gives us a fantastic peace in our life. And I think the Holy Spirit prompts us to do stuff, and I'm really grateful for that as a Christian, because there's so many things that I wouldn't be able to do in my own strength, but that I can do with the Spirit of God at work in me and working through me. I can think of one particular situation when I was working in an orphanage in Africa, which I did for a few years ago, and it was my second day there. It was my second shift, and there was a little baby girl. She was just 1 year old. She was called Kamakhelo, and the retroviral drugs for her HIV were just kicking in, but she was really poorly. She wasn't responding well to them, and she was just laid there on the floor looking up at me, and I felt the Spirit of God say, sit with her your whole shift, hold her in your arms and just pray for her, pray in tongues, hold her so she knows the presence of love, really. She knows my presence and that I've put someone there to fight for her, to pray with her and just to be there. And that's a really special moment for me, because I just had to go in boldly and say to the staff, you know what, I'm not going to look after all the other kids today. There's other people that can do that. I'm going to hold this baby and I'm going to pray for her, because God said that's what she needs at this moment. And that's just one story of the Spirit of God. I'm so glad she did that, because I'm so glad I did that, because I formed an incredible bond with her, and she got really well. She definitely needed prayer. She needed to know God was fighting for her during that day. And that little girl got reunited with her family, actually, about a year or so later. So what an incredible God we serve. That, you know, I'm grateful for that as well, that he puts the lonely back in families. Her dad believed that she was dead, and he got reunited with her. So the Spirit uses us, doesn't he? I was just a small part of her story, but we have to respond when he prompts us to do things. I hope that example speaks to you, because that's one big part of my journey of coming to understand the Holy Spirit of God that really sticks out for me.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that we both feel that's really key and that we really appreciate is family. Mm-hmm. And You know, as much as we love our natural families, they're great. You know, we're still praying for some of them who don't know Jesus. But the great thing is that we have a Christian family. That's not all of them. That was just the closest group photo I could find. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that in a minute.
Missing a few as well.
Yeah, we're missing a few. We need a new group photo. The problem is that we had a council a couple of weeks ago. I think we figured in our Connect group, there's about 23 of us. So you'd need a pretty wide angle lens to get us all in. But yeah, what we love is having a Christian family. People who we do life with. People who we journey along this walk with God. Who support us, who pray for us, who we can support and we can pray for. It's as much give and take. And just the other day, great little example of this, we had a surprise visit from one of the guys in our Connect group. Who said that he was driving to work one morning and he really felt God put on his heart to come and pray with us. And he was like, okay, I'm off to work, but if you prompt me on the way back home, then I'll do it. And finished work, starts driving home, and God does it again. God goes, you really need to go and pray with these guys. And so he did. So he came up, there was a knock at the door. We were sat on the sofa, there was a knock at the door. Alex just looks at me and goes, did you know somebody was coming? No idea. Oh, it took us a moment to actually get up and go and answer the door, because we were a bit took back that somebody just showed up. Anyway, it was really encouraging, though.
Don't sound very popular, do we?
No, we don't. Nobody comes to see
us.
By invitation only. No, it's not by invitation only. Feel free to pop by any time, if we're in. But it was great because they came in and they shared with us what God had laid on their heart. They prayed with us, and that was so encouraging. That people, we knew that people are praying for us. People have got us on their hearts. We've got people on our hearts. And that's the awesome thing about Connect groups, and that's why they work. You build relationships with people. And this, for me, this is the key about Connect groups, is as long as you can be honest about how you're feeling and what's happening in your life, you'll grow. Because when you're honest, other people feel like they can be honest. And the more you know about each other that's shared in that intimate place where you build with a select group of people, you journey along God's walk together, you build each other up, you pray for each other, you support each other, you can share stories with each other, experiences that you might be going through. So really encourage you this morning, if you are not a part of a Connect group, get connected in, because it is the best place you will be midweek, is doing life with other like-minded people who can support you, pray for you, give you words of knowledge, lift you up, and you can do the same back to them.
Okay, another thing that when we reflected that we really appreciated about being Christians was God's provision. I was just talking about working in Africa for a year. I remember saying to God, I'd wrestled with it for months and months, and I said, God, if you actually want me to go and do this, to give up my job in London, to give up my life, it's got to be a miracle because I don't have any money. And the money came. It was absolutely amazing. A check came through my door from a completely anonymous giver. And I've had other situations where I've really asked God, do you want me to do something? Is this in your will? And I've seen provision, and that's fantastic, isn't it? We really don't need to worry about anything because God is always looking at you, Pam. God's provision, it's coming again in the future. There's more. You've seen that provision, haven't you? It's always there. There's always enough. If you haven't read the books by Heidi Baker called There's Always Enough, I really encourage you to read them because she just does. She does what God's told her to do, and she trusts that the provision is going to be there. She's a real woman of faith, so get hold of her stuff. Yeah, we've had lots of provision, haven't we, since we've been married. When we were first married, we were just living off one salary, basically, because Pete was training and building and volunteering into things that he's doing now. And we're seeing God's faithfulness in that and his complete abundance. And one thing we've learned is that it comes out of the place of faithfulness and knowing that he's going to be faithful, but also being faithful yourself with continuing to give of your time and your funds. If you pour out your tithe, God will always bless you back with a double portion, and we've definitely experienced that, and we're really grateful for that. Yeah, I think that's it for that bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, God will meet every need for you.
Yeah, we were in connect group a couple of weeks ago and steal a line that Matt came up with. We were looking at James, going back to provision. And he said this. He said that, let me get this right. Obedience. No. Hang on. Yeah, obedience is the wellspring of abundance. And we had to think about that for a minute and go, okay, what does that actually mean? But yeah, it's that whole idea that if you are obedient to God, do what God has asked you to do. He'll provide everything you're going to need. A, for that that he's asked you to do. But he's going to provide everything else on top of it. So, they're just some of the things that we really appreciate about following God. Mm-hmm. But as I alluded to at the beginning, borders, you know, are often used to kind of check what's coming in and out. Think about a moat around a castle. Hopefully there's a picture of you. Ah, yeah, there you go. Look at that. That's a big moat. And what are moats used for? They're a defense. It's a way of allowing what you want to allow in. And that's something we need to do on a daily basis, is check what is influencing us, what are we allowing to have impact on us. And some of the things that we found that can be hindrances in our walks with God is, number one, not prioritizing God. You know, that's been one of my biggest hindrances. In doing what God has asked us to do, sometimes I don't put him first in my choices. Sometimes I don't prioritize him. And, you know, those who know me will know that procrastination is probably my biggest challenge. People are laughing because they know it's true. If I get tasked with a job, I will 99.9% of the time be able to find something else to do that is not that task. I will more than happily just wish away my hours watching TV, catching up on Netflix, or spending it on the internet, or doing stuff that's not actually what I've been asked to do. And this has an effect. If we're not prioritizing God and we're not spending time with him, it has an effect on the rest of our life, on the rest of our day. It's not to say that we have to meet with God in the morning, because some people aren't morning people, looking at nobody in the room. And some people are morning people, so that's great. But we've got to make that decision, like Dad was saying last week, we've got to make that conscious decision to spend time with God. Because spending time with him not only builds us up, but it allows us to hear what he's got for us. And it's not, you know, in a tick-in-the-box kind of way of doing things that, okay, I'm going to spend time with God this morning, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to pray, thank you, God, for everything he's given me, wonderful. Right, I'll read a quick thing of scripture, done, off we go. It's being able to spend time and not rush away, to wait. And when we wait, we allow God to actually speak to us. Sometimes I think God's got this interesting sense of humor that, he wants to talk to us, but he wants to see if we'll wait to listen first. Rather than just going, okay, here it is, bang. He's going to go, I'm just going to wait and see if you're patient enough to stay. And so that's one of the big things we need to check in our lives, is are we spending enough time with God? Are we spending enough time in his presence, letting him impact us? As much as, you know, his people do and other Christians do, the best place we can get built up is in his presence. Number two.
Yeah, I think prioritizing a life of prayer has been so important for us, hasn't it? Because prayer makes things happen, and you can't stand in the future going, oh no, if you didn't pray. You've got to pray, because God will answer your prayers. He's faithful to that. Yeah, another hindrance that I personally have struggled with over the past couple of years is the company that I keep, because I want to be in the world, but I don't want to be of it. I want to have amazing non-Christian friendships, because my non-Christian friends I've known my whole life, and they're important to me. But actually, you do find, and perhaps you can relate to this, if you're spending too much time with people who don't have the same faith as you, who perhaps don't speak in the way you speak and haven't got the same agenda as you've got, you can easily get distracted away from God. You can easily become more like them. And that's not to necessarily say you don't want to be like them, because we've all got, I'm sure, wonderful non-Christian family and friend members. But it's kind of about knowing your limits, isn't it? And it's putting a cap on how much time you spend with people that aren't Christians and aren't building you up and aren't encouraging you in the same way that perhaps our church family and our community group that we looked at before encourages us. It's just about asking God for wisdom, I think I found, on how much stuff you do with your non-Christian friends, how much time you spend talking to them, how you speak to them. Do you speak as a Christian with a Christian perspective, or do you get involved in conversations that perhaps compromise your faith? Just something I found a particular hindrance as I struggled to get a balance, having been blessed with loads of people in my life who I desperately want to see saved and come to know Jesus. Just about balancing that time with them and that time with God, perhaps spending time with God praying for them instead of hanging out with them. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get across. That's, for me, has been a hindrance. Perhaps maybe too much time in the past with people that weren't Christians. Joe Gascoigne preached a little while ago, and it really stood out to us, didn't it? A quote that he said, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." And that really stuck out to me, that quote, because I think it's really true, isn't it? So it's a difficult balance to get, and it can be a hindrance to spend too much time with people who don't build you up and encourage you in the faith. Was there any more? Should I talk a little bit about social media? Yeah. Like Pete said, we love TV. We love watching TV and films. That's a big hobby for us. But another thing that we found a real hindrance is social media lately. And it's wonderful in many respects, but actually it can be a real hindrance. It can really get between you and God for many reasons. You can spend too much time on it. You can spend too much time browsing what other people are up to and comparing your life to theirs. And that can be really unhelpful, can't it? Because as we're going to talk about at the end, this is our portion and our lot. Our boundary lines, your boundary lines, are in pleasant places according to God's will for your life. And if you spend too much time watching and observing what other people are doing, it can be a bit of a hindrance, I've found, and I know Pete's found, in terms of our walk with God. It's very distracting. It's easier to tap onto Facebook than to tap onto the Bible app. So we're just kind of monitoring that, and we're trying to monitor our hindrances and our distractions and just keep them at bay and try and put God first.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of the last big hindrances we've got is our thoughts, our thought life. And a lot of the other stuff that we've just talked about all links into this. And it's what we need to check our thoughts. We need to check what we allow to influence us and our thought life. Is it things we watch? Is it things we listen to? Is it words that other people say? All these have an impact. You know, how often do you listen to a song on the radio and then start singing along because it's really catchy, and then you stop to listen to the words and realize you're singing something either A, inappropriate, B, completely not what you believe? You know, and it's all out of our minds have a funny way of just picking up on stuff that we like to listen to that naturally sounds pleasing, but actually has a really negative influence. And, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, "Take every thought captive to obey Christ." You know, we need to really look at what are we allowing in that can influence us. And, linked with that, sometimes doubt has a big effect on us. Not to say that, we're really bad if we do doubt, because it happens to all of us. We doubt that sometimes God might turn up. We doubt that if we pray for somebody, they'll be healed. Maybe God won't work in that way. And that puts a limit on what God can do through us. When we start to doubt our ability in what God's given us to do, it limits his power in us. We sang earlier about, we have the same power that Christ had. And that's massive. We have power to heal the sick, see dead raised. And how often do we see that? Not very often. And to me, I think partially that's to do with our thinking and going, actually, can I do this? And not trusting that actually God can do it, because it's God that does it all through us. He just asks us to obey. And I want to read you a bit out of this book. It's a book that Becky got us for our birthday. It's by Bill Johnson. He's a pastor of a church in Bethel in California. And it's The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind, Access to a Life of Miracles. And I want to read you a bit. This is, when we take doubt out of the picture, this is what can happen. A young man named Brandon, who is a graduate of Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, that's a good name for a school, isn't it, was visiting friends in Washington State. They were at a restaurant, and a waitress came to take their order. Brandon began to perceive things in his heart about the woman. He found some kind of words of knowledge. And he shared them with her. They pertained to her relationship with her mother. The waitress was amazed, and she became so emotional that she had to take a break. While the waitress was away, Brandon noticed an Asian couple staring at him from across the room. The woman had wrist braces on because she suffered with carpal tunnel syndrome, and one of her hands was completely frozen in a fist. Brandon walked over and asked if he could pray for her. He prayed for her. She said that they were Buddhists, but they were willing to receive prayer. He prayed for her, and she was healed on the spot. The whole family was instantly overjoyed and began praising Jesus right at their table. They said they had been praying to their ancestors for a long time for her hands to be healed, but the prayers hadn't worked. Brandon explained who Jesus is, and they received the gospel with wonder and thankfulness. What an awesome picture. To share the gospel with somebody, and they receive it with wonder and thankfulness. He went back to his table, and for the rest of the evening, the healed woman sat there, opening and closing her hand in amazement. About that time, the waitress came back and asked if she could talk with Brandon outside. She was understandably confused, but yet eager, and wanted to know more about God. Brandon shared further insight that the Holy Spirit gave him about her life, and told her about Jesus' love. She gave her heart to the Lord and was filled with the Holy Spirit, right there. She was breathless with excitement, declared she was going to tell all her friends what had happened. That sounds like something out of the Bible, but is just another recent display of God's love from a normal Christian like you and me. It happens regularly to a whole company of believers. He simply made himself available to carry out God's will in the here and now. He didn't just share doctrine, he offered proof of who God is. Links into this next bit. One of the major functions of miracles and supernatural living is to offer immediate, irrefutable proof of what God wants to happen on earth. It demonstrates who God is by showing what his reality looks like. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 12. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Has it ever occurred to you that one of your jobs on earth is, like Brandon, to prove the will of God? To show other people what he is like? To allow him to overwhelm the enemy's works through you? Most people don't know how God behaves or what's inside his heart for each one of us. Your calling and my calling as believers may be too massive to fully understand. But the Bible's command is clear. Our job is to demonstrate that the reality that exists in heaven can be manifested right here, right now. We are not just people who believe the right things about God, but we're people who put the will of God on display, expressing it and causing others to realize, oh, so that's what God is like. Healing and deliverance and restoration do much more than solve the immediate problem. They give people a concrete demonstration of who God is. When we take doubt out the window and we believe and we trust that everything that God has said he will do, then we can see awesome stuff happen. It goes on to say that one of the young guys from their church was summoned for jury duty. And he says, I doubt they'll ever ask him back again. While he was serving, a gang member got saved, three people were healed, one of them in front of a mocking crowd. The young man there had so boasted in the Lord that many of the other jurors were publicly making fun of him. So he turned to an afflicted person, prayed, and that person was healed. The crowd went silent. Another man in a wheelchair stood before the people in the courthouse, moving his hands and displaying the healing power and love of Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? When we take the hindrances out of the way, when we focus on God, we spend time with him, we get to know his will for our life that is just to show who he is, to reflect who God is, the power that God has put in us and through us, we see awesome stuff happen. You know, the past couple of weeks as we've come into this new year, there's been a real sense of something big starting to happen and a real faith growing in the church. And I want to challenge us almost to start to do this. Yes, it might seem daunting the first time. God starts to lay it on your heart to do something, specifically to a stranger. But we have to trust in him and actually let God do the work. All God has asked us to do is obey. Alex.
Okay, this whole preach has been based on our boundary lines. We've hopefully put across to you some of the good things to celebrate about your Christian life, some of the hindrances to try and avoid to make your walk with God a bit better. And actually, we read the scripture at the beginning of the preach where it says, "My boundary lines are fallen in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." When I was in South Africa, the church that I was part of that ran the orphanage that I worked for, their elder's wife always used to say that. And she still says it when I talk to her in emails. She always tags it on the end of her Facebook status that whatever's happening in her life, she puts, surely my boundary lines are in pleasant places. God is amazing. And we just want to encourage you to think about that this morning. Are you happy with your boundary lines? Try and get content with where God has put you. And I felt as we were preparing and as we speak, there's some people that just go, I'm not quite satisfied with my lot at the moment. I haven't got that peace that actually God has put my boundaries in pleasant places. When she used to say that, my friend, I always used to think of white picket fences, because that was what was around the property where the orphanage and the church was. And actually, that was where she was and what she was doing for God in this season of her life. And it's about wherever you are in your walk with God and whichever season of your life you're in, knowing that your boundary lines are in pleasant places, knowing that God has given you your portion and your lot, and being content with that, really. And we felt, didn't we, last year, 2014, was a year of just establishing our boundary lines and seeing what God had got for us for the foreseeable future and getting comfortable with that. And sometimes life is a bit mundane, isn't it? Day by day can be a bit routine-based. It can be the same. But actually, when I step back and I look at all of you, our church family, when I think about what we've got and what we're grateful for, some of which we've touched upon this morning, I go, wow, God, my boundary lines are in mighty pleasant places. I've got a delightful inheritance, and I know that. And sometimes you have to step back to see that. You don't always see it in the rushed, busy aspects of life. So if you want prayer for that this morning, if you want that peace that transcends all understanding, if you want, just to step back and reflect with God, we'd love to pray with you at the end. We really want to pray for you. We want to pray for anyone who might be struggling this morning or anybody that wants to know Jesus and wants to, have a life with him, because it really is the best life. We just wanted to leave you with the God loves you line.
It's true.
At the end.
Andy, team, why don't you come back? Why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. Like Alex said, we want to leave it available this morning that if you really feel like you want prayer for something this morning, maybe you feel like, you may be not content with what God's given you, or you feel a bit, it's almost turbulent to think about, then we want to pray for you. We want to pray God's peace over you. And I want to pray as well, anybody that was impacted by what I read out of that book that wants to know that power, wants to see that outworking, then we want to pray for you as well, to have boldness. And Richard was talking a few weeks ago about having boldness to step forward. So, yeah, we want to pray for you as well. But let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is good. You are a God who gives us our portion in life, who knows our beginning from our end, who knows everything about us and knows exactly what we need. You are a God who sets our boundaries in a good way, but also in a way that helps us to defend what we have, to be protective over what's in our hearts, what's in our minds. And Father, I pray now that you would just begin to speak to us. Speak to our hearts right now. Speak into our lives right now. Highlight anything that might be a hindrance to us. Father, would you highlight anything that we might need to change this morning? Any habits that we have, any hang-ups we have that are forming boundaries to blocking you. Father, we want to lay them at your feet this morning. And I say, Father, help us. Help us to spend time with you. Help us to know what it is to live a life full of you. A life full of your glory and your presence and your power. Because we want to be bold. We want to be bold to follow you. Bold to step out in everything that you've called us to. And Father, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us as we do that. As we begin to step out and step into everything you've called us to. Would you bless us? Yeah, Father, in Jesus' name we give it to you. Amen.